When we disagree, it'll be just like, so far, it's been just like when Barack and I did. If I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
Yes. Well, I think that disease has been sufficiently developed, and it's time to resign. What do you think? Hard to disagree with that, isn't it? Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Well, 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 happy Thursday and welcome back. A lot going on. You know, I haven't even been talking about the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and the wrestling match going on Capitol Hill over attempting to restore what we used to call regular order. That is, making the Congress look like a Congress in Western civilization and not like a third world frenzy of idiocy that really the Democrats, with some help from the Republicans, have turned our Congress into. It's an embarrassment what we've done. And I know Mike Johnson is under fire, and I'm keeping my powder dry on that, because I don't think he should be kicked out. Enough anarchy, enough chaos. Don't help the Democrats turn it into anarchy. They're the party of chaos. They're the party of violent mob, political insanity. Let's leave that to them. And there's all these fake government shutdowns. Oh, no, the government's going to shut down this Friday. Timmy can't go to Jellystone and all this ridiculous stuff. But I would like to talk, I hope to talk about the Speaker of the House trying to restore regular order and have bills that are standalone bills, which is how God meant it to be. These omnibus ridiculous bills leading to these idiotic government, fake government shutdowns and all this stuff. But the Speaker of the House is trying to restore some semblance of normalcy to the Congress. And there's some resistance, and I understand a lot of it, honestly. But at the same time, I do hope to get to that today. But they feed me a lot of stuff, lots and lots of stuff. The United Nations is looking at giving what they call Palestine. There really isn't. They're talking about the Gaza, and they want to give Gaza full nation status at the United Nations because they're a gang of communist rabble who are extremists, and you know, they rule the roost at the United Nations. That probably cannibals. Do they have any cannibals in the United Nations? The thing, I guess, Haiti. They have barbecue, and the cannibals, they should give barbecue he's a cannibal down there in Haiti. They should give him exalted status at the United Nations too. But they're talking about today, the United Nations, giving an elevated and exalted status of nationhood at the United Nations, the status of a normal country. It's a terrorist death cult of radical Islam, a genocidal gang of rapists and kidnappers and criminals. And the lefties, and it's lefties, and pro-Islamists and anti-Semites, the racists at the United Nations, UN Security Council expected to vote on Palestine's bid for full membership. U.S. is likely to veto it. And I was looking at this one today in the Palestine Chronicle. It's Al Gore's amazing internet. Thanks to the patriarchy, everyone around the world can share news articles and videos and pictures and all kinds of things from anywhere pretty much instantaneously. But the Palestine Chronicle, their masthead, they have the words Palestine and Chronicle. And the word Palestine, the I between the T and the N, is not a letter. It is an icon in the shape of Israel, the nation of Israel, not the Gaza, not the West Bank, but the state of Israel, because the goal is to push all of the Jews into the Mediterranean Sea, from the river to the sea, as the Democrats say on college campuses, and call it Palestine. And at the United Nations, they can't wait to give an exalted status to the terrorist army that is hell-bent on the genocide of the Jewish people. But the Palestine Chronicle, UNSC, we have to abbreviate everything, you know, the United Nations Security Council, expected to vote on Palestine's bid for full membership. U.S. likely to veto it. But pretty much every other country, well, maybe not some Western European countries, but the overwhelming majority of the United Nations will doubtless vote in favor of giving a terrorist group the status of a normal country because Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles. Now, in 2011, Palestine, that's there is no such thing as Palestine, submitted a bid to become a full UN member but failed to secure the required support from Security Council members. Now, the United Nations Security Council is expected to vote on a draft resolution prepared by Algeria. That's where I always look to for my global leadership, Algeria, recommending Palestine's admission, there is no Palestine, as a member of the United Nations. The designation of sisterly Algeria officially presents, this is pretty amazing stuff, on behalf of the Arab group, a draft resolution in the Security Council to recommend that the United Nations General Assembly accept full membership of Palestine in the United Nations. Sure, we need more suicide bombers in there. Spray some meat on that green wall. Palestine's mission to the UN posted on X on Wednesday. It's interesting that the Palestine Chronicle doesn't add formerly known as Twitter. That's the first news organization I've seen. You know, it's like, hey, I think people know what we're talking about when we say that now. They're ahead of everybody. It earlier posted a draft resolution on State of Palestine membership to the United Nations, put in blue by Algeria UN on behalf of the Arab group. And this is in Arabic and it's translated. That's good stuff. So when the Security Council approaches the final stage of negotiating the final draft resolution, the text is printed in blue. And so that's very exciting. And I expect the United Nations to do that. They'll pass it. They'll give the radical Islamic terror group, Hamas, they will give a genocidal army of armed Islamists full statehood status, nation status at the United Nations, because the whole thing is a sham. It's a scam. Really, they should be, the United Nations should be moved out of New York. That building should be turned into condominiums. And they should be moved to Ouagadougou. I think Ouagadougou is the righteous home for the United Nations headquarters. That's me. Just amazing stuff. Now, speaking of the Democrats being a vile gang of pro-terrorist lunatics, let's go to just amazing stuff. You know, we didn't finish all of our Joe Biden stuff, but I want to get to Columbia University, too. Before we get to the Democrats rioting at Columbia University and with their flares lighting up the night sky and their Palestinian flags, and I assume they had more Hezbollah flags and all that good stuff. Remarkable. Does the Hezbollah flag have an AK-47 on it? I'm going to have to look up my terrorist flags again. But the Democrat Party, the party that gave us the KKK and Students for a Democratic Society and all the American terrorist groups, now they're pro-radical Islamic jihadi terror group because they're unwell. They're very unwell. They have gender issues, too. All right, let's go to soundbite number four because I want to mop up with this Joe Biden stuff in Pennsylvania yesterday. But he was talking about driving in his motorcade, you know, rocket-proof, electromagnetic pulse-proof motorcade, the big hulking limousine and the motorcade with, you know, 695 cars and an ambulance and helicopters and all that good stuff. Joe Biden said, boy, when he's driving through America these days, it's not like it used to be. There are signs that have, well, I'll clean it up and just say, like, F Joe Biden. At the Chris Plant store, we have T-shirts and mugs and things that have FJB. And I'll just leave it at that. But here's Joe Biden yesterday talking about what it's like to motorcade through the United States of America these days.
I've never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or something and see big signs
in the West
that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden. and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time. It's not who we are.
It's not who we are. I don't think you really have any idea who we are, but that's okay. I remember a woman in Virginia who is a Democrat, saw President Trump's motorcade going by, and he was headed, I think, to one of his private golf courses, and a Democrat woman was riding her bicycle because she's saving the planet, you know, and a woman who's a Democrat, a radical, an extremist, she flipped off President Trump's motorcade, right? And when she did that, she was just some random Democrat. And when she did that, the Democrat Party saw a picture, I think it was in the Washington Post, because a photographer in the back of the motorcade shot the picture of her on her bicycle flipping off the motorcade as it went by. And the Democrats saw that picture in the papers, and they said, we like the cut of her jib. Let's hire her. Let's make sure that she runs for office and get her elected to office. So maybe we should get this seven-year-old who flipped off Joe Biden. Joe Biden says seven-year-old kid flipped him off, flipped off the motor. And I wouldn't be surprised by that. And he sees signs that say F Joe Biden. And he's shocked by this. That's not who we are. That's what you guys have made us. You guys did this. You guys normalized mob political street violence. You guys normalized rioting and arson and burning police cars. You guys normalized looting. You guys normalized flipping off the President of the United States. And then once again, when it comes back to you, you express dismay and shock. That's not who we are. That's who you are. And you're getting a little spoonful of yourselves. Now, this woman, Julie Briskman, is the Virginia woman. She was elected because the Democrats ran her for office just for doing that. No background in politics, just a hate-filled, vulgar Democrat leftist flipping off the President of the United States when his motorcade goes by. Wouldn't be the first time it's happened in the history of the country, but it would be the first time that any party said, hey, let's run her for office and get him elected. Now, the people at NPR were excited to announce 2 years after she was fired for giving President Trump the finger, Julie Briskman has a new job, a seat on the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors representing the county in which Trump's Virginia Golf Club sits. That was 2019. National Panhandler Radio, Mary Tyler March, wrote the story. Wanted to be Mary Tyler Moore growing up, but it didn't work out. Ended up being a propagandist for the Democrat Party instead. Isn't that amazing? So Joe Biden is shocked, and that's not who we are. That is who you are and who you have helped to make us, sadly. But isn't that amazing? Just amazing. And then Joe Biden told an insane story yesterday. Nobody knows what he's talking about to this day. But I mean, you know, Joe Biden is driving around and he sees the F Joe Biden signs in front yards. And then he has a little kid flip him off. And oh, and he's just shocked. Honestly, let's find that seven-year-old and run him for office. Maybe for president. Couldn't do any worse than Joe Biden. Then Joe Biden, after telling the insane story, completely fabricated about his uncle, who he says was shot down in World War II while flying a little plane. He was a passenger. He was a courier. The plane lost engine and crashed into the ocean, not onto the land where there were cannibals. It wasn't a single-engine plane. It was a twin-engine plane. He got everything about the story wrong. And interestingly, that story's not in the Washington Post today. The Washington Post doesn't cover that, because they're just a front group for the Democrat Party, and they're not going to report that. It doesn't reflect well on Joe Biden, so they're not going to report it. I don't know what CNN, if CNN is reporting the story, the fake story about his uncle that was either a fake uncle or a real uncle, but the whole story is insane. But then Joe Biden was at the podium with the microphones, and he told this rambling, insane story that nobody could figure out either. Soundbite number five, Joe Biden.
I was in the motel, after the local motel, getting changed, and I was in one of those 8x10 bathrooms, you know, they have.
No, I don't.
Shower, toilet, and a sink, and I got a towel on me and shaving cream, and I hear bam, bam, bam at my door, really loudly.
You're showering with your daughter?
Wondering what the hell is that? And I walked to the door and opened up, and standing there was the former governor of the state of Delaware. Albert N. Carville, a big guy, about 6'5", talked at you like this. I'm standing in a towel and shaving cream in my face.
Yeah, that's a fascinating story, maybe to someone. But that was basically the end of the story. That was it. And it's like, boy, he's disjointed. He's not connected to the real world. One of those 8x10 bathrooms, got a towel around him. Was remembering showering with his teenage daughter, who later became a sex addict and a drug addict and left her diary in a rehab house. And when someone found it, they had the FBI go raid the homes and the offices of the people that found the diary left behind. But, you know, it did include the story about Ashley Biden having her father get in the shower with her when she's a teenager, and I think he was sniffing her. It's really time for Joe Biden to go. He's got to invent that sickness, fake that sickness. It's time for him to step down. How are the Democrats going to get rid of Joe Biden? They've got to get rid of him. His brain's no good. They're covering up for him so far, but it's getting harder and harder, isn't it?
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
All right, let's go back to the phones, Michael. Let's go to Ron. Dr. Ron calling from Huntsville, Alabama. Ron, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Oh, my gosh, Chris. I can't believe it, man. It's so great to talk to you. Yes, I'm a physician. And one thing that I wanted to bring up, because I haven't heard anyone talk about it, none of the talking heads or any medical experts talk about it, is something called the Clinical Dementia Rating Scale. The CDR scale, which is a very relatable scoring system that physicians use, but even family members can use it because, like I say, it's not bogged down in, you know, medical terminology that makes it sort of, you know, undigestible. But and it looks at things like memory. Memory, orientation, you know, things like judgment and problem solving, those sorts of things.
Uh-huh.
And then you get a score based on the degree of impairment that's there. Like a normal score is zero. Like for memory, there's no memory problem or just random forgetfulness, that sort of thing. But, you know, as you kind of go up the scale and you have severe loss and only fragments of your memory remain, or you know, with orientation, you just don't know what time of day it is or what day it is.
Well, I tell you what, Ron, can you hang in there for me through the news? Since, you know, resident physician Chris Planchow, questions for you. We're going to get back to your media and your Joe Biden and his dementia and what the media is doing with the cannibal story, because they're covering it up for him. They're not reporting the news. They're not covering the news. They're covering up the news. And I love the anti-racism chief at Loyola Law School, who's the biggest racist in the room. Well, we'll get to that. She is a Democrat. That's the thing about those people. But in the meantime, we have Dr. Ron on the phone, and Dr. Ron, medical doctor, MD, calling from Huntsville, Alabama, and we were just talking about Joe Biden and the clinical dementia rating scale. And Ron, I'm happy you held in there. Thank you very much. Yes. You're talking about memory and orientation and judgment and problem solving, and you're watching the situation from afar, but we all see what Joe Biden is doing. We see his deterioration. Am I right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the another point that I would make about what we see is that what we are seeing is the best of Joe Biden, right? Because this is what we see. That's the groomed and sort of prepped and optimal Joe Biden, as disturbing as that is. Just imagine how even more disturbing it must be behind the scenes, behind closed doors. And he's meeting with these world leaders, and you just wonder what that must be like. And because what we're seeing is the refined and presentable version of him, the best version that his handlers want to put forth. And it just, I can't, Chris, I can't even begin to think about what it must be like, you know, in the behind closed doors.
Well, and we see his handlers shooing the press out the door very quickly. We see when he does, on rare occasions, take questions from the press, they give him cue cards, index cards, with photographs, right. little thumbnail photographs of the reporters and their names and news organizations next to them, because
right.
he doesn't know who they are. And he knows when he goes to them, because the cue cards, they arrange it with a crooked press ahead of time. Here's the subject, at least, and probably the question that's being asked, and then here's your programmed question, your answer, rather. And when you watch this as a medical doctor, and you come from a family where there are younger people and older people, and you watch this, what, from a medical perspective, what goes through your mind?
Well, you know, you look at this and you see that he is being kind of scripted in a way, and you think, you know, when there's even the slightest deviation from what is presented to him on these cards that he's supposed to follow, even when there's just the slightest deviation or variation, that's when it seems like the wheels start to fall off and he starts telling these stories off teleprompter or whatever that make no sense and have no beginning, middle, or end. And they just have, it's just, where did this come from sort of stuff. And, you know, then you see, you know, it's the press and his handlers, you know, just kind of just say, move along, nothing to see here. But the problem, Chris, is that we all see it. We all see it and we all know it. And the gaslighting that's going on is just astonishing. And that's why I just bring up this scoring system, this scaling system, because, you know, people can look it up and kind of do their own judgment, and we can all sort of be armchair clinicians here and look at it and just shake our heads. It's astonishing, really.
Yeah, and it's not wrong for us to do that. It's entirely appropriate for us to do that.
We do it all the time. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, right, that's where we're sizing people up all the time. We're profiling people all the time. Human beings have always profiled everyone around us. And then they're sizing up world leaders and politicians. If this guy were the head of any other country, if he were the head of Russia, Putin, or something, we'd be sizing up his mental abilities or inabilities. And it's entirely appropriate, since he's on, presumably, maybe going to be on the ballot come election day, although I'm still saying that they're going to have to yank him before election day, maybe during the convention or something. Been talking about this for more than a year, how they're going to have to pull him. And I do think they're going to have to pull him. Now, I mean, again, I don't want to take any place you don't want to go, but if, you know, you're the White House physician, and there is a White House physician, I'd imagine the White House physician has to be rolling his eyes every day and walking away shaking his head, right?
Well, you would think so. You know, the thing is that, you know, there's a difference between kind of beating up on somebody who's, you know, clearly demented in a nursing home, can't defend themselves and so forth, and then, on the other hand, looking at somebody who is being put out there as the leader of the free world. And I think it's fair game to raise these questions because the stakes are so high. And as you know, I'm a radiologist, Chris. I look at CTs and MRIs and read all these studies. I don't really see patients in clinic per se, but I read plenty of scans that are sent to me to interpret with patients who have dementia, and there are different patterns that you look for on the scans that can favor one type of dementia over another. And so I do have to kind of add that caveat that I don't sit down. You know, usually neurologists or geriatric physicians who specialize in treating the elderly would be the ones to really get to the nitty-gritty about, you know, is this person, you know, does this person have a high score? I mean, where are they on the spectrum, sort of a thing? But I do have some familiarity with it as a practicing physician, even though I'm a radiologist, so I'm sort of one step removed. But it's relatable for you, me, anybody, family members, you name it. And I'd say it's pretty alarming. And I don't know how the, you know, White House physician can say, yep, he's good to go. Well, maybe from a, you know, a physiologic standpoint, his heart seems to beat okay, and he can get around all right, it seems. His gait is a little disturbing.
Right.
But I would like to know the results of a mini mental status exam. That's another thing that we use all the time, MMSE, a mini mental status exam. And it's basic things like, you know, spell certain words backwards.
Huh.
Or, you know, draw 3:30 on a clock, you know, like the short and the long hands. Can you draw that? You know, just basic things, just extremely fundamental things that you would think would be important if we're concerned, as we all are, about his ability to function. I mean, this guy needs to be sharp. You know, world leaders are shrewd and calculating and think 3 or 4 moves in advance. And sometimes, Chris, I wonder how he gets dressed in the morning. And I hate to say that about the president, but I just wonder these things.
Yeah, you're right to wonder, and we're all wondering, Ron. I'm thankful that you called in. I appreciate your sharing your knowledge with us. And I know that, you know, every reasonable person is thinking the same thing. The Democrats are, it's amazing what the party has done to the rank and file Democrat across the country. They're anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, think there are 55 genders, or in San Francisco, 120 genders. And they think Joe Biden is just fine, and that Donald Trump, because of a mean tweet they didn't like 8 years ago, is not qualified to be president. It's an extraordinary time. And in the meantime, they're rioting on the campuses of Ivy League colleges, chanting in favor of Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran. We're living in a very strange time. We should have a cognitive test, an MSE, for the entire Democrat Party. And of course, the Democrats, the White House and beyond, insist that while Donald Trump was publicly shamed into taking a cognitive test when he was president, they insist that Joe Biden doesn't need to take a cognitive test because he obviously presents very well every day when that is abundantly, it's abundantly clear that that's completely false, completely false. Dr. Ron, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Great stuff. Huntsville, Alabama. Wonderful. Where Americans live. And let's go, because I want to get back to this with the news media. Joe Biden, the news media is not covering Joe Biden's insane story from yesterday, which was almost entirely fabricated, about his uncle in World War II, who he says was flying in a single engine aircraft, made it sound like he was, you know, the pilot. He's not. He was a passenger. He was acting as a courier. The plane was a Douglas A-20 called the Havoc. It's the Havoc. And it's a light bomber, but it's a twin-engine plane with a fuselage, and it looks like he's got a nose gunner, and it's you know, a big enough plane to drop bombs. But here's Joe Biden, and I want to share with you Andrea Mitchell and NBC Fake News, their non-coverage of this story, just as the Washington Post didn't cover this story. From what we can see, CNN has not mentioned Joe Biden's insane fake story about his uncle being eaten by cannibals in World War II. And here's the story that Joe Biden told.
We called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals and,
time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like.
No wreckage was found of the plane. It wasn't a single-engine plane. He was not the pilot. He didn't specifically say he was the pilot, but it was implied. It was not shot down. It lost engine power, and it went down in the ocean. There were four people aboard the plane. Three died. One was recovered alive. One who died was his uncle. So that part of it is true, but the rest of it is entirely untrue. There is no report of any cannibals in the area. However, there is a story out of George H.W. Bush, who was a Navy pilot in World War II. President George H.W. Bush, Navy pilot, World War II, Pacific. He was shot down, and he was recovered by an American submarine in the Pacific Ocean. Some of H.W. Bush's shipmates were not as fortunate. They also were shot down, captured by the Japanese, and there are detailed reports on how Japanese soldiers ate the American prisoners that were downed and in a cannibalistic, ate their livers and things. So it's not that that sort of thing never happened. That sort of thing did happen. We've got cannibals in Haiti right now, for the love of. But never mind that. Again, the Washington Post, I went through my A sectional of the Washington Post today, and my best girl did as well when we were at home on the couch. And I was looking everywhere for the Biden story about his uncle and the cannibals, and there's no story in here because it's embarrassing, and they're running Joe Biden for president knowing that he's not up to it. And when it comes time to swap him out, the Washington Post will be very much involved in that. But they've got stories on Joe Biden in Pennsylvania yesterday. They just didn't report anything about this crazy fake story about the cannibals and his uncle being shot down in a single-engine plane. It was a twin-engine plane. He was on a courier run. It wasn't an intelligence-gathering reconnaissance mission. It wasn't shot down. There were no cannibals around. Other than that, it's a great story. Now, as far as we can tell, CNN on television has not mentioned this story. We have a magic machine that can tell us whether they've used the word cannibal on CNN, and CNN has not used the word cannibal. And MSDNC, which is another Democrat Party front group like the Washington Post and like CNN, it's good to be a Democrat. The propaganda apparatus is everywhere. Their tentacles are everywhere. But Andrea Mitchell, who's been reporting for a long, long time in this city and knows better, she went on television. She has her own television show there at MSDNC. And she was on there, and the story kind of came up. But here's how they handled it on MSDNC. The only time that they mentioned it, this is the only coverage that it got, and key details were omitted, lies of omission and commission at the same time. The most insidious power the media has is the power to ignore, let's remember. And everybody's ignoring the fact that Joe Biden's brain is no good. Andrea Mitchell, MSDNC, the only time they mentioned Joe Biden's cannibal story.
And he was talking about seeing his uncle's name on the war memorial, an uncle he had never known, on the World War II memorial. And he linked that and the feelings that he had stopping at a war memorial, he linked that to then going on and criticizing Donald Trump for in Paris on an official visit, not on a very rainy day, wanting to go to a World War II memorial where Americans' troops had been buried.
What? And that's the whole tell. That's all that MSNBC has said about Joe Biden's insane cannibal story. And Joe Biden did go on to attack Donald Trump. He turned that, the story about his uncle being eaten by cannibals after being shot down in a single-engine aircraft. He went on to attack Trump because that's what he does. He's campaigning. By the way, he also mocked Donald Trump yesterday in Pennsylvania, saying, well, here I am on the campaign trail, and where's he? And the crowd laughed. Oh, where is he? He's tied up in court because corrupt Democrat prosecutors have taken him off of the campaign trail as a form of election interference. And it is most definitely a form of election interference by the Democrats abusing their power in Atlanta, abusing their power in New York, abusing their power in Washington, D.C., to assail the political nominee of the opposing party. It's, you know, this legal warfare, lawfare. And that's the media, the most corrupt institution in America. Hey, what about that whole thing about all the, and the Pentagon's corrected all of it, and it's not twin engine, and it wasn't the pilot, and he wasn't shot down, and there were no cannibals, it didn't join after D-Day, June 6, 1944. He was shot down a month before D-Day. Excuse me, not shot down, engine failure. Went down in the ocean, not on the land in New Guinea. No swimming cannibals to greet him. But at NBC and CNN and CBS and ABC and the Washington Post, they just don't mention that. You know why? Well, we've got anarchy in the courtroom in New York, as you might expect, because it's full of Democrats. And The Guardian out of the United Kingdom has the story this morning. Trump trial juror excused over concerns of identification after being targeted on Fox News. That's a lie. Left-wing, corrupt, filthy media. Before the new panel of potential jurors, every news organization gave the descriptions of the same seven jurors in the same way. Before the new panel of potential jurors entered the courtroom, Judge Merchan, a crooked Democrat, said he had concerns about one of the selected jurors and how truthfully the person had answered questions. One of the questions on the juror questionnaire asked if the potential juror or any of their family members were accused of a crime. Under questioning earlier this week, juror number four said he hadn't been convicted of a crime. Prosecutors found an article from the 1990s about a person with the same name as the juror who was arrested for tearing down political advertisements. Radical left-wing terrorists, you know, the usual stuff. The posters were on the political right that the person was tearing down, so a left-wing lunatic going around tearing down things. And then there's more CNN this morning with another update, a fake reporter by the name of Bryn Gingras on CNN just a short time ago.
This is breaking news, Sarah. This oncology nurse, this woman came into the courtroom today and told the judge that she wanted to be dismissed because she was feeling that she wasn't going to be fair and impartial, as the judge, of course, has requested for this monumental trial.
Oh, you want to be fair and impartial. I've got more on this, and there's more than the two cases I just cited. Another juror under scrutiny after one is excused. Following the loss of juror number two, attorneys are now discussing issues related to juror number four. So the Democrat Party lynch mob is falling apart at the seams. Looks like three coming up.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.